Blog Talk Radio.
Waka, bitch!
That's how I start the show. I wonder if there are any first-time listeners out there going, what the fuck is that?
Get used to it. There will be more Waka Wakas, and there will be more bitches. How's everybody's day going today? I'm excited for today's show. I got multiple stories on Carly Fiorina. Now, normally that wouldn't be exciting, because it's Carly Fiorina. But, I don't know, these are, one of them is just horrendous because it shows that she has no morality, and the other one is just funny. You know, it really is true that the Republican Party has moved so far to the right that you basically have to say insane shit during the primary to have any chance of getting through the primary, and then once you get to the general election, you have to just, you know, say, who was this asshole who was talking 2 months ago? That wasn't me. Was that me? Well, I disregard everything I said back then. Don't believe it. And that's harder to do for these guys in the age of the internet, man. It's just there's so much shit of there's so many videos of you out there of you saying dumb shit that it's hard for you to say, scratch that. I don't believe any of that. So Carly Fiorina gave us a heaping dose of that. We'll discuss it. I got an update on the Yemen story where a wedding was attacked, a horrendous update. Marijuana arrests, have they gone up? Have they gone down? And what are we to take away from that? And, of course, I got a little bit of, like we do in every show, some crazy fundamentalists. Michelle Bachmann is basically going to beg the Christian world to start being more fundamentalist. And to talk about end times, I shit you not. And police in Tunisia, they suspected somebody of gay activity, so naturally they put stuff in his ass. Yeah, no, that's the story. Like that could be the whole story right now. I don't even need to do the story later because I just told you exactly what happened. I wonder if the people who did the search wanted to put things in men's asses. I'm curious. I mean, they did it, so yeah. But I'm sure it was just because it's their job and they're being very strict about following the rules, not because they actually themselves are really interested in gay sex. Anyway, let's get started here, and we'll kick it off with one of these stories about Carly Fiorina, the one that's even more depressing, her thoughts on torture. I can see all of you cringing as I said that. Okay. Carly Fiorina has gradually become more and more extreme since becoming an allegedly viable presidential candidate. And today we get the news that she defends torture. Talking Points memo reports on this, quote, she defended the use of waterboarding under President Bush's administration, arguing that the technique kept our nation safe. She said the following, I believe that all of the evidence is very clear that waterboarding was used in a very small handful of cases and was supervised by medical personnel in every one of those cases. And I also believe that waterboarding was used when there was no other way to get information that was necessary. Before we continue here, let's just set the record straight. Everything she said there is false. The idea that, like, you had legit medical experts who were like, let's check his pulse. Okay, now you can go back to torturing. No, that's not true. And it's also not true that all we did was waterboarding. I love how that's been the main focus of the media for a really long time, where they pick a form of torture where people legitimately think it's still, like, a debatable issue. It's not a debatable issue. Waterboarding is torture. But just know that that's like the least bad of all of the different forms of torture that we did. I mean, another example, we did hypothermia torture. which is exactly what it sounds like. We threw cold water on a guy in a cell, a cold cell, left him there at night, came back in the morning, he was dead. Everybody was like, oops, we fucked up. Also, come to find out, that guy was totally innocent. In fact, over 20% of the people that we tortured, we now admit, the CIA admits, well, yeah, they were innocent. And that's just what they admit. You know, we don't know what they're keeping from us. We do know that the government is actually hiding some pictures from what happened at Gitmo from us, even with the Abu Ghraib pictures already being out there. So the only conclusion I can take away from that is what happened at Gitmo is way worse than what happened at Abu Ghraib. And what happened at Abu Ghraib was horrendous. But then there's also anal feeding, as they call it, and go talk to medical experts and see if they think that's a legit thing. When this story broke, they were like, what? Nobody does that. You don't fucking shove a tube up somebody's ass, which is anal rape, and then pump liquid food up there? And they said it led to lesions and blisters and all types of problems, and they're like, yeah, because that's not a fucking thing. You're just anally raping somebody. It's a form of torture. They did mock burials. They said to people, hey, I'm going to rape and kill your family, all this stuff. So, number one, torture isn't debatable to begin with. But number two, I love how the conversation from torture apologists always props up only around waterboarding, as if that's all we did, and as if it wasn't systemic. She's like, well, it was done a handful of times, and there were people around who say, no. It was done a lot. Have you read the Senate Intelligence Report? It's very important that you read that if you actually want to pretend to have an educated opinion on this. And let's also remember, I alluded to this a little bit before, but the way that we got people to Guantanamo is not what you think it is. It's not like, you know, there's some special ops people out there in the field and they're like, ooh, I see an Al-Qaeda operative and he's got a fucking sign on his chest that's like, I'm Al-Qaeda, and we get him and then we bring him there and then we keep him there. No, we actually, the Bush administration cut a deal with the Pakistani government and the Afghani government and said, all right, well, 9/11 just happened here. You know, we're obviously, understandably, really upset about that. We want to get the people back who did it. Do us a favor and send us jihadists. Send us Al-Qaeda operatives who you know are Al-Qaeda operatives. And then, you know, we'll put them at Guantanamo Bay. So what did these governments do? They went and they rounded up people who were just protesters of their government or, you know, who were their political enemies. Who trusts the Pakistani government and the Afghani government to be like, yes, I know these guys are Al-Qaeda. Do you really? So they just rounded up people who weren't Al-Qaeda, shipped them to Gitmo, and a lot of them are still sitting there today. We've gradually released some of the ones who are innocent, but there's still a lot of people there today, and some of them are innocent. So it's just, it's so sad that she's so immensely ignorant on it, and she manages to defend torture. Now, let me give you one more portion here, because this is really important. They say, quote, the Senate Intelligence Committee last year concluded that torture was not an effective way of getting information from prisoners. Simple as that. And also, remember, we got the intelligence to go into Iraq from torture. Why? Not because Iraq really had anything to do with 9/11, but because we were looking for that answer. So they tortured somebody until they said what the people doing the torture wanted to hear. That's usually the way torture works. So we got this bad intelligence, started a war over the bad intelligence, and then idiots like Carly Fiorina are like, yeah, you know, we should do that some more. Who openly muses about violating international law and the Constitution and U.S. law? I mean, it's not like people act, well, it's just torture. Yeah, that's fucking illegal, and it is for a reason. I mean, you want to talk about moral relativists, I've never seen a bigger moral relativist than this. Well, come on, when we do torture, I mean, we mean well. We're the good guys, by definition, so we're allowed to do it. But go ahead, ask Carly Fiorina, ask any of the Republicans. Really, what if Iran did the torture and openly mused about doing more torture? Would you say, well, I mean, look, they got to do what they got to do, right? They got to protect their nation. If anybody else does it, anybody else does it who's not our ally, we go, oh, the terrorist state. What an illegitimate state violating international law. Punish them. But when we do it, you can't fucking criticize us. We're above the rules. Do you not understand that? Guys, torture says more about you than it does about the people you're torturing. Because what it shows is you have no moral code. You're not holding yourself to the same standard that you hold other people to. There's a term for that. It's a hypocrite. Okay. Next. All right, we got to talk a little bit about Anonymous here and what they're up to. The International Business Times is reporting that the activist group Anonymous has attacked official websites of the Saudi Arabian government in protest of their plans to behead and crucify Ali Mohammed Bakir al-Nimr. Now, this guy is a Shia activist and a protester who was picked up by the Saudi government, and now they want to kill him. Now, they made up this bullshit story about how, no, he had a gun, and he was stealing from people. Human rights organizations say that's total bullshit. So, you know, this was at the time when the Arab Spring was happening, and there was some popular sentiment rising up against the Saudi government for understandable reasons. This guy was a Shia activist and a protester. And, of course, our butt buddy, favorite government ever, Saudi Arabia, was like, yeah, we don't tolerate dissent. You're going to die. And not only are they going to kill him, like I said, behead and then crucify. Because, you know, these guys are moral. So, they're not just going to kill the standard way where you do the death penalty. It's got to be behead and then crucify. Because you got to do it the right way when you kill somebody. What, are you not civilized? So he was 17 years old when he was arrested. He's 21 years old now. Quote, the final appeal to the Saudi courts was dismissed earlier this month, and he's due to be put to death at any moment, they say. So Anonymous responded, quote, Ali Mohammed al-Nimr, an innocent young teenage boy, has been sentenced to death in Saudi Arabia, and we will not stand by and watch. This message goes to the King Salman bin Abdelaziz Al Saud and the Saudi Arabian government. In the last video, we demanded the release of Ali Mohammed Al Nimr. It seems you have ignored our letter and video directed to you. Since you have ignored our wishes, we will now take action for your ignorance. So they did a giant cyber attack. They brought down some websites that were affiliated with the government. And if I'm not mistaken, or at least they alluded to in the article in the International Business Times, some of those websites are now back up. And what I want to say to Anonymous right now is keep going. Don't stop. Be tenacious. Because they have resources, they have, you know, ways around it and whatnot. And somebody's got to stand up and do something. And this is a good way of trying to say, hey, pricks, cut it out. Now, will it work? I don't know. It probably won't work. But at least this shows that people care enough to take some sort of action that will at least inconvenience the people who are in power over there. Now, putting that aside, so credit to Anonymous for what they're doing here, and they should continue. U.S. government, what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing? Because you know President Obama is not stupid. And, you know, other officials in the administration, they're not dumb. Man, you got to do something. Now, I'm not a crazy Republican, so I'm not in favor of starting a war with Saudi Arabia, and while we're at it, because you know they want this, start one with Iran, too, and just fight everybody everywhere. Blah. No, we're rational, we're intelligent, and we try to figure things out in a smart way. So why not, you know, have a meeting, put some pressure on them somehow? And I know the way the relationship works, if you put too much pressure, then, ooh, they'll fuck you with oil, and then, ooh, that'll hurt our currency. And I know that there's international issues going on here economically with this. But isn't that the core of the problem anyway? The core of the problem is the U.S. and other nations too, but definitely the U.S. We've decided that economic relationships are more important than anything else, including the most obvious immoral actions ever. So how much is enough? I mean that. How much is enough? I mean, here we are. We rightly are just outraged at how immoral ISIS is and what they do. But the Saudi government, again, they're Salafists. That's the ultra-conservative fundamentalist interpretation of Islam, the furthest right wing you can have. It's the same ideology that ISIS has. Saudi Arabia's beheaded over 100 people this year, and they're doing it for shit like witchcraft and sorcery and drug smuggling. And what does the U.S. say about that? if you look at what do they say about ISIS? Oh, my God, terrorists, unbelievable, kill them. When it's Saudi Arabia, you know, the government is too busy giving hand jobs to the Saudi royals because we love that oil. So we got to find a way to, over time, stop this toxic relationship. I mean, if there weren't enough reasons already to kind of wean our way off fossil fuels and get to renewable technology and have sustainable energy, well, this is the best answer yet. We need to start that process now because I'm tired of us idly sitting by while one of our top allies does the most immoral actions. Okay. All right, now, same kind of issue here, because it's an update story from yesterday. So yesterday we covered a story out of Yemen about how civilians were recently massacred in a botched bombing. And today we have to revisit the story because the death toll ballooned. So Reuters reports, quote, the death toll from an airstrike on a wedding party in Yemen has jumped to 131 people in one of the deadliest attacks on civilians in Yemen's war. Now remember, as we mentioned yesterday, many of the people who are killed, women and children. They say a Saudi-led coalition that has air supremacy over Yemen has strongly denied any role in the wedding party carnage, and a coalition spokesman suggested that local militias may have fired the projectiles. All right, allow me to say this right now. That's totally made up. It's totally untrue. It's the Saudis playing the, me? I would never do anything like that. But wait, we know that you've been doing the airstrikes for a long time now there. So of course it's you. What are you talking about? Ah, it was somebody else who's doing airstrikes in the region. Nobody else is doing airstrikes in the region. What are you talking about? So I don't believe their nonsense here for a second, but nobody does. The international community's reaction is the same. They're like, "What the? Of course it's you. What are you saying?" They say international rights groups have expressed alarm at the escalating number of civilian deaths in the conflict, at least 2,355 out of more than 4,500 people killed. So we're looking at a civilian death rate of over 50% in the fighting. And it doesn't look like there's going to be a stop coming anytime soon. Now, this is part of the broader Sunni-Shia schism here. But the reason why this is so important and the reason why Americans certainly need to know about this is that we are the ones arming the Saudis. We know what they're doing with the arms. We know how they're violating international law and they're killing gross numbers of civilians, but we are continuing to arm them. Why would we do that? Now, again, this also goes to show you how confused we are in the broader Sunni-Shia schism, because if you talk about, particularly in Iraq and Syria, we are on the side of not only the Kurds, but also the Shia militias who are fighting ISIS. So we're on the Shia side there, but then you go to Yemen, we flip. And we're not on the side of the Shias there, which would be the Houthi militants. We're on the side of the Sunnis there. Now, of course, like I said, from the air, it's only Saudi Arabia doing bombing. Are there some Sunni militants on the ground who are still fighting the Shia leaders? Absolutely. But why is it in one area in this broader Sunni-Shia schism we're on the side of the Shias? In this other area, we're on the side of the Sunnis. And then there are some places, like I had mentioned Syria before, it's actually a little more complicated in Syria. In Syria, it's like we're for and against both sides. And we've spoken about this before, how first we were against Assad, then no, we're against the people who are fighting Assad, so we're default on the side of Assad. And then recently we announced, well, we're going to bomb pretty much whoever we see. So we're going to bomb ISIS and we're going to bomb Syrian forces. So in Syria, we're on both sides. In Iraq, we're on the side of the Shias. In Yemen, we're on the side of the Sunnis. What the fuck are we doing? Now, like I alluded to before, one of the more important aspects of this, though, is we have such a strong business relationship with the Saudis that we continue to give them weapons and money to do the bombing of civilians, and we know that's what's happening, but it doesn't look like that's going to stop anytime soon. So perhaps one of the biggest motivating factors here is simply the military-industrial complex. We have many defense contractors who get no-bid contracts. They're building all the time, you know, fighter jets and tanks and weapons, and they keep building it, keep building it, keep building it, and in order to keep getting new contracts and keep building stuff, they got to unload some of it. So what do? Well, we have these deals set up with all these different governments, whether it's Egypt or Israel or Saudi Arabia, where, you know, oh, hey, we give you X amount of money in international aid every year, whether it's $1 billion or $3 billion, depending on which place you're talking about, and then they immediately send that money back and we send them weapons. That's the ruse that we have going on. But it's gotten to the point where the morality of what we're doing is not considered in any way, shape, or form. In any way, shape, or form. So when Netanyahu goes into the Palestinian territories or goes into Gaza and he kills 80% civilians, over 500 women and children, Gaza, according to a UN report, will be uninhabitable by 2020. When he does that, we go, hey, you want more weapons? Why would we do that? That's insane. When Egypt's Sisi massacres peaceful Muslim Brotherhood protesters in the street, we go, you want some more weapons? Now, understand, guys, I disagree with the Muslim Brotherhood. I'm not in favor of them. But that doesn't mean then that Sisi gets to massacre peaceful Muslim Brotherhood protesters as he did. And then we go, hey, you want more weapons with that? And now Saudi Arabia is bombing Yemen. And in Yemen, naturally, they despise Saudi Arabia now. But you know who else they despise? Us. You want to know why they despise us? Because they can see on the remnants of the different bombs and rockets where this weaponry is coming from, where the artillery is coming from. They see it. They see it. There was an article in Vice which laid out in great detail how somebody on the ground, they saw it. They're like, oh, look at that. No wonder why they hate us. So understand, guys, a lot of the hatred directed at the U.S., some of it absolutely stems from a place of just religious fundamentalism, but a lot of it doesn't. A lot of it stems from hatred based on our actions that, hey, we're arming regimes that are in many ways flat-out genocidal, or they don't care about the number of civilians they kill. And then we breed hatred and we go, what? I don't know why everybody's mad at me. I'm just doing business as usual here and just look the other way. No, don't look the other way. What we need to do is, as Noam Chomsky says, if we want to stop international terrorism, there's an easy way to do it. Stop participating in it. So we're only responsible for what we do. We can only control our actions. So let's not sell weapons to all these different regimes that are going to slaughter civilians. And by the way, while we're at it, we also shouldn't kill civilians. Like, for example, the drone campaign in Pakistan and Somalia and in Yemen. Like, for example, the various wars, whether the war in Afghanistan or the war in Iraq or elsewhere. So if we control our actions and do a better job of that, yes, we will, by definition, live in a more peaceful world because the worst regimes won't be armed and we won't be killing people as well. Okay. Let's take a break, and then when we come back, Reuters reports on marijuana arrests. Did they go up or down? And what does that tell us about what's happening? Rush Limbaugh has just an awesome new conspiracy theory pulled directly from his giant gluttonous ass. I'm not sure if the term gluttonous can go before ass. That doesn't really make sense. But nonetheless, you get my point. And the Tunisia story, I don't know why. I can't wait to report on that story because it's one of the most ironic stories we've ever done. And I didn't even mention at the beginning of the show here, which I probably should have. There's a few stories today on how fucked up our education system is. So, have we gotten to a place where a school finds it necessary to apologize for science? Yes, just apologize for science. I think you already know the answer to that, because I gave it away with this tease here. But isn't that amazing? School apologize for teaching things that are true. I'll give you the details of that later and much more. All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back.
To my people out there. Time to man up. Put my hands up. Fuck the sand, bruh. Cause I'm a black man in the phantom. Or is it cause my windows tinted? Car cost $300,000 and I blow endo in it. You mad cause your daughter fuck with me on spring break? Well, I'm gonna fuck with you on spring break.
Well, another one cause I'm winning. And my photo looking real photogenic. Gentlemen on the tire, impressive on the fire. I'm in the class of my own, my teacher got fired. Money getting long, pussy rate keep rising. So shot your outfit, cost me 3,000. From the peace houses, did it from the weak hours. Selling that chicken, no lemon pepper, no sweet and sour. First you get the power, then you get respect. I'm getting so much money, I can buy your bed. Take it how you want it. If you wanna take it, I like clubs where all the women working naked. Fell in love with a waitress, what the fuck I'm thinking? Bought that whole ring, it was for a pinky. That's pimping, that's slick. Got a bottle of cologne that costs more than your rent.
Fuck y'all mad at me, folks. Got a black card and a black phantom with a white bitch in Idaho. I do the same thing as
Montana.
Got a thick bitch in Atlanta. Got a red bone in the shop. Got two chains and two tones, 200 racks, no lie. I live Mumbai, I live Mumbai. I'm about to rumble in the jungle in these new Kanye. I live Mumbai, I live Mumbai. My lawyer threw them gloves on and beat another case. Fuck y'all mad at me, folks. My belt got two G's on it. Her bag got two C's on it. My daughter's stroller got D's on it. Bro, Free Big Me, Free Boosie, and see murder. Like New Orleans, like Baltimore, come and cop New York City murder. And my ARC murder. Let's beef, nigga, no burden. I'm insane, and you insane. Nigga, better turn on new burner. Got coke swimming in that glass jar. Bitch, go turn on new burner. Got dope to sell in this hotel. No half price, no retail. You a bitch, nigga, no female. I smack niggas, freeware. I'm on the block like D12. I got the right, no D12. Like real nigga in Africa. I was born jump in that jet. And that's real shit, no real shit, and no known shit. But then yeah, I live Mumbai, I live Mumbai. Thank God that nigga seen another day. I live Mumbai, I live Mumbai. Got a chopper and a fire, fuck it, let him spray. I take my case to trial, hire the dream team. Robbie Kardashian and John Cochran, I seen things. I dream big, I think sharp. Inhale smoke, a wine tree bar. Humble yourself, you're not a G, keep it one with yourself. Running niggas for help favors, I keep one on the shelf. I got rifles with lasers, swinging just like the majors. Hit you right above navy, now you're swimming in pavement. Gold numbers on my neck, I call it Mikey Phelps. Hoes selling them for less, I call them bottom shelf. Niggas tough on them blocks, never did nothing at all. On the road to the riches, bitches not tagging along. Left my ass in the dawn, kick that ass and I'm gone. Disrespect my nigga boss and I'm flashing the chrome. I'm waiting to check, titty spray in the mat. It's thin toes in the back.
Alright, we're back, people. Alright, let's talk a little bit about weed. Reuters is reporting that marijuana arrests last year actually increased, even though multiple states have already gone to legalization or are moving towards legalization. So they say the following, quote, citing the FBI's annual uniform,
Citing the FBI's annual Uniform Crime Report released on Monday, the Pro-Legalization Marijuana Policy Project said 700,993 arrests were made for pot-related offenses during 2014, up from 693,058 the year before. More than 88% of the marijuana arrests were for possession and not for trafficking or other offenses. So one of the things people always say is, no, you don't really get arrested. Like we've heard O'Reilly say this. You don't really get arrested if you're just smoking a little bit of weed, or as long as you're not trafficking, well, you know, they kind of let you get away with that. That's actually wrong. More than 88% of marijuana arrests were for possession and not for trafficking or other offenses. Now, this is happening the same time that, quote, according to the FBI's own data, more than 35% of murders remain unsolved, while the clearance rate for sexual assaults is less than 40%, and for robbery and other property crimes, under 30%. So here's, I'm going to pose a very simple question. Do you think we're maybe misallocating some resources here? Over 700,000 weed arrests, and I just told you, 35% of murders are unsolved, the clearance rate for sexual assaults is less than 40%, and robbery and property crimes under 30%. Come on, man. I mean, the whole idea of police and law enforcement, it's supposed to be that, you know, we can be tough on crimes, tough on crime if the things we're talking about are actually crimes. Okay, it's not really a crime if somebody's, you know, doing some kind of substance that tweaks their consciousness slightly. In effect, there's no difference. But okay, so we're going to arrest you for doing that substance, ooh, evil weed, but go get a prescription, Xanax is totally legal, go to the store and buy a Monster Energy or a Red Bull, that's totally legal. Go get drunk off your ass on Jack Daniels, and it's fine. It's fine. But no, you get thrown in jail if you do it with certain substances. No, the whole system is just fucked up at this point. And just like the Vice News show proved the other day, we really have, all this is a new Jim Crow system. There's that great book that came out not that long ago. New Jim Crow, I believe, or I think that's what it's called. I think that's what the title is. But the idea is, obviously, that we went from a system of oppression through slavery, and then obviously you had Jim Crow and segregation and official second-class citizenship, and all we've done is changed the way that the system keeps down certain communities, specifically minority communities, but also some poor whites as well. And the way the system holds you down now is you try to criminalize poor life and minority life. And so if you happen to have a little bit of weed on you, well, then you can get locked up for a long time. Well, why does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense. It's a system of population control. I mean, believe it or not, Karl Marx came up with a similar theory. I believe he called it conflict theory. You learn about this in sociology, where, you know, the idea is it's not that justice is really blind and there are these rules, and if anybody breaks them, you go to jail. No, it's more of a system that makes it so that the elite can stay elite and stay in power, and they can use the laws to their advantage and law enforcement to their advantage to keep the undesirables down, if you will, or to let them know their place. And, you know, when you see numbers like this, it's hard to come to any other conclusion. I mean, we jail more people in the U.S. than any other nation, than any other nation. We have more people in prison today in the U.S. than Stalin did in his gulags at their height. Is that something we should be proud of? No, and a lot of this is simply because of the war on drugs. The answer is to legalize, tax, and regulate. Some states are doing it, but unfortunately, of course, in this situation, federal law overrides state law, and if they want to crack down, they can crack down, and it looks like that's what they're doing. So as states like Colorado and Washington have legalized, the federal government is basically saying, yeah, fuck that, and we're going to do more arrests. What the fuck, man? It's mind-numbing and it's maddening. And I believe the number now, depending on which poll you look at, anywhere from 53% to 61% of the public says legalize marijuana, legalize, tax, and regulate. So a solid majority says it. And what's the government doing? The opposite. They say, hey, thanks for playing in this democracy. Now step aside and let us do what we're continuing to do. How about no? How about fuck you? All right, now. Let's go to Rush Limbaugh and his pathetic, pathetic, pathetic conspiracy. Did I mention it was pathetic? Rush Limbaugh made up a pathetic conspiracy to explain why there's water on Mars. Rush, take it away.
There's so much fraud. You know, Sturley came in and what's this NASA news? This NASA news is all exciting. He said, yeah, they found flowing water up there. No kidding? Wow! Wow, Sturley said. Flowing water on Mars? Why does that excite you? What, are you going there next week? What's the big deal about flowing water on Mars? I don't know, man. It just I said, you know what? When they start selling iPhones on Mars, that's when it'll matter to me. I said, what do you think they're going to do with this news? I said, look at the temperature data that has been reported by NASA, has been made up. It's fraudulent for however many years. There isn't any warming. There hasn't been for 18 and a half years.
Wow.
And yet they're lying about it. They're just making up the amount of ice in the North and South Poles. They're making up the temperatures. They're lying and making up false charts and so forth. So what's to stop them from making up something that happened on Mars that will help advance their left-wing agenda on this planet? And Snurdly paused. Oh, yeah, you're right. You know, when I play golf with excellent golfers, I ask them, does it ever get boring playing well? Does it ever get boring hitting shot after shot where you want to hit it? And they all look at me and smile and they say, never. Well, folks, it never gets boring being right either, like I am. But it doesn't mean it is any less frustrating. Being right and being alone is a challenging existence. Okay, so there's flowing water on Mars. Hey, you know me. I'm Science 101, big-time guy, tech advanced. You know it. I'm all in. But NASA has been corrupted by the current regime. I want to find out what they're going to tell us. Okay, flowing water on Mars. If we're even to believe that, what are they going to tell us that means? That's what I'm going to wait for. Because I guarantee you, let's just wait and see. This is September 28th. Let's just wait and see. Don't know how long it's going to take. But this news that there is flowing water on Mars is somehow going to find its way into a technique to advance the leftist agenda. I don't know what it is. I mean, I would assume it would be something to do with global warming. And maybe there was once an advanced civilization. If they say they found flowing water, next, they're going to find a graveyard.
All right, this guy is just an embarrassment at this point. I almost feel bad for him. I do. Because he really is your dumbass grandpa or alcoholic uncle at the Thanksgiving dinner table who chimes in with ridiculous theories that they heard on Fox News or talk radio. Well, he is talk radio. And they think they're nailing it. Obama's a Kenyan Muslim, goddammit! Government health care is going to kill everybody! Pass the bourbon. That's what this guy's like now. But he thinks he's so brilliant. He thinks he's brilliant. Quote, it doesn't get boring being right. Who says that? Guys, I'm a pompous blowhard. I'm a prick with a giant ego. I'm a narcissist. I don't even go that far. You know, my friends who had perfect golf shot after perfect golf shot, I ask them, they're famous and rich people, I ask them, do you ever get tired hitting that? No, I don't, Rush. Well, I never get tired being right. What a child. What an insecure little toddler you are. You know who has to say stuff like that? Somebody who's not right. Almost ever. That's who says stuff like that. It's like saying, my dick is so big, you have no idea, it is gigantic. I mean, I'm telling you, man, baby's arm. Who says that? Somebody who feels like they have to say that because they're overcompensating. We've seen this before, man. This is like Pastor Manning the other day. I'm not gay. No, your breath stinks of another man's butthole, you dung eaters, perverts. Why are you saying all those things? Because we have the video of it. He actually admitted on TYT when Cenk and Anna questioned him in the right way. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm sexually attracted to men. Okay, ridiculous. I love also when he said, I'm science 101, you know me. You're going to pretend like you give a fuck about science, as you just said! You just said, NASA scientists are lying about global warming. You know me, I'm all about the science. Whose science? What science are you talking about? Because the NASA scientists are scientists. They're the ones doing the science. I don't believe them. They're lying about global warming. Because I know you know better. You know, being a college dropout talk radio host on AM radio, you know much more than the guys with the degrees who spent their lives researching and, you know, using the scientific method and giving a shit about empiricism. Your gut visceral feeling, I'm sure, is spot on and they're wrong. And then the best example of projection was they're lying to promote their agenda. They're lying to promote their agenda. You just said that there's a giant conspiracy to further a left-wing agenda, you know, the idea of climate change, by finding water on Mars. But they're the one that are trying to promote an agenda? You just literally came up with something that's promoting your agenda. It's classic Rush Limbaugh. Everything that he accuses the left of doing is what he does. So when he says, like, oh, okay, oh, the liberals are corrupting the kids and trying to take over the school curriculum, what's he doing? He literally wrote a children's book. He wrote a children's book about the founding of the nation. And, of course, naturally, you know, we're supposed to be really Republican and really Christian, even though he doesn't want to take care of the poor, but my version of Christianity. As you're doing propaganda, you're like, fucking liberals and their propaganda. And then, finally, let's get to the heart of the issue here. He's saying, I mean, obviously there's something going on underneath this. It can't just be they actually discovered evidence that water was on Mars. Why should this matter in the first place? Well, Rush, if there's evidence of water on Mars, and there is, that means that there's a high probability that there was life on Mars. Which gives us, you know, it's a breakthrough in terms of our scientific knowledge and understanding. I mean, there's one theory that, quite literally, we can be Martians. Because I don't know all the details and I'm not qualified to get into it, but more or less, as I've heard Neil deGrasse Tyson explain, there are some kinds of beings or, you know, whatever, single-celled organisms or amoebas, I don't know, some sort of thing that can survive impact and can take off and could have landed on Earth, and it can survive in the basically the vacuum of space, and then it gets here, and then that's the first thing that we needed, which was the first spark for life, which obviously, given millions of years, that can turn into more complex beings. So, I mean, this is a tremendous breakthrough. Now, the thing is, there's already evidence of what, like, Rush Limbaugh is acting like, ah, they're going to use this to promote their agenda. No, it just so happens that facts promote a liberal agenda. As Stephen Colbert said, reality has a well-known liberal bias. So, for example, when it comes to Venus, did you know that it was, according to many scientists, the runaway greenhouse effect screwed up Venus's atmosphere? Now, the greenhouse effect is what? The same thing happening with climate change. Now, I'm not saying that the same thing is going to happen to Earth, because I don't know, and I don't pretend to know shit I don't, unlike Rush. But we know that that's a very popular theory for what happened with Venus. Now, when it comes to Mars, scientists have already said they had an oxygen-rich atmosphere. They had an oxygen-rich atmosphere way before Earth, and then something happened. In fact, let me quote you from an article from 2013 in The Telegraph. Mars' atmosphere destroyed by catastrophic events some 4 billion years ago. Quote, an analysis of data returned by the Curiosity rover, which landed on the planet a year ago, suggests there was a major upheaval which could have been caused by volcanic eruptions or a massive collision which stripped away the atmosphere. The rover has returned its first measurements of the makeup of gases, including argon, oxygen, nitrogen, carbon monoxide, and carbon dioxide in Martian atmosphere. The results published in two parallel studies in the journal Science allow scientists to better understand how the Martian climate changed and understand whether it ever had the right conditions for life. So, in other words, we don't know anything for sure yet, but if/when we learn that the atmosphere changed for a variety of reasons as they laid out here, and, hey, this shows us X, Y, and Z about what to do and not to do in regards to our atmosphere, it's not going to be a liberal hoax. It's not going to be a liberal conspiracy. It's going to be, what's that word again I'm looking for? Science. The thing that you disregard. Okay. Now we'll go to Michelle Bachmann. Michelle Bachmann went on a Christian fundamentalist radio show, and she lost her marbles.
I'm going back to Iran for just a moment here, because you and I were talking a little bit about, you know, Iran is very apocalyptic oriented. They're looking for a messiah. They're very end-time focused, the Mahdi. And yet our churches are absolutely bankrupt when it comes to talking about anything. I don't want to say in the world type, but they're bankrupt when it comes to wanting to talk about what the Bible has to say about the incredible last days that we are in. If you were to exhort a pastor right now, in light of the fact that here we've got an Islamic country excited about the end times, we've got America bored with the fact that we're in the end times, how would you exhort a pastor right now?
Well, this is the prime season to teach a congregation about what the Bible says about the end of days. Clearly, the world is paying attention to this issue. And I think if a pastor is giving the solid biblical evidences for the events that lead up to the very end of time, I believe that the congregation would be absolutely enthralled to understand the times that we live in. Let's face it, those who have been connected with Iran literally for decades have talked virtually nonstop about end times. Isn't that interesting? Islamic countries are obsessed with end times and bringing about end times. Shia Islam believes that the end times and the hidden imam, the 12th imam, comes about through an apocalypse. In other words, something that we would think of as nuclear destruction. They believe nuclear destruction brings about their culmination. I think it's vital. I don't understand why any pulpit right now wouldn't also observe the times that we live in and explain it from a biblical perspective. We needn't have to be walking in fear with our heads down in despair. What a biblical pastor can do is speak to people about how Jesus said the fig leaves are changing on the trees. The season is approaching. And I believe that too many believers in the United States right now haven't yet heard the teaching on what is coming.
Do you understand what she's getting at there? She's basically saying, you know, Muslims are so much more extreme than Christians. They believe in stuff like end times, specifically in Shia Islam. Isn't that great? Shouldn't we do the same thing in Christianity? Why don't more people in Christianity believe in end times? We really need pastors to start talking about that. Man, how scary is that? Isn't that unreal? You know what this reminds me of? I don't know if, how many of you guys saw the documentary Jesus Camp, but if you haven't seen it, go watch it and prepare to have your mind blown. Because basically what it's about is fundamentalist evangelical Christian camp where kids go and they get indoctrinated. It's just pure propaganda. They, at the time, they prayed to a cardboard cutout of George W. Bush. They speak about how, you know, Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I will do for you. I will be a warrior for Christ. I'm ready for the holy war. Things like that. And what Michelle Bachmann is doing here is she's echoing that sentiment. The sentiment of, you know, they're militaristic and they're extreme and they believe in prophecy. Why don't we? We should be militaristic. We should be extreme. We should believe in prophecy. We got to be prepared for this stuff, guys. So instead of looking at fundamentalism and going, oof, you know, let's be more open-minded, more tolerant, more liberal and care about reality, she goes, no, I want to be the opposite side of the same coin of hatred and bigotry and intolerance and stupidity. That's what I want to be. Which is why I've said time and time again that if you listen to what they tell you, fundamentalist Christians and fundamentalist Muslims, it's hilarious that they have this thing where they're like, ah, we're against them, they're against us. Because they actually agree. They agree on so many things. Just obviously you take out the word Bible, put in the word Quran, you take out the word Christian, you put in the word Muslim, you know, change a few rules here and there, and boom, you're done. They're exactly the fucking same. The people who really are opposed to everything the fundamentalists stand for are the liberals. Which is, again, why it's funny when Christians try to lump in liberals and fundamentalist Muslims. We could not disagree with anybody more. And then understand, guys, so for those of you who say, whatever, it's theoretical, it's Michelle Bachmann, she's a kook, it's got no bearing on policy whatsoever. No. Understand there are plenty of Republican congressmen at the state level and at the federal level, or Republican politicians, I should say, who buy into this stuff. And it's not like there are no real-world consequences. So, for example, why do you think it is that the Christian right is always 100% of the time on the page with the right wing in Israel? Because they say, they tell you, according to biblical prophecy, John Hagee was just talking about this the other day, according to biblical prophecy, Jesus comes back there, so they want to get rid of the Palestinians, the entire area needs to be Israel, and then that allows Jesus to come back, do another genocide of the Jews, some of them that convert he lets live, how kind of him, and then, you know, they fly bodily back to heaven, and it's the apocalypse, and all the Christians are all saved. So they want to usher in end times, and that leads them to do things like reject the Iran deal, because that would actually lead to peace with Iran, and of course Netanyahu is against that, and they're always with Netanyahu, so like, what, he's against it? I'm against it too, and they're actively trying to tank a peace deal. They're actively trying to bring about a situation on this earth that will bring us closer to war, if not just flat out calling for war like people like Louis Gohmert and others. So this is dangerous, this has real-world consequences, and the answer to fundamentalism and extremism in certain areas of the Muslim world is not to copy the same shit like Michelle Bachmann wants us to do. It's for us to be liberal and open-minded and intelligent and to try to bring about peace on this earth, not to try to bring about the next world by killing us all, when, by the way, the next world likely doesn't exist. Okay. Let me do one more here. And then take a break. Circle back to Carly Fiorina. Carly Fiorina was accused by Glenn Beck of believing in science, so she promptly had to backpedal.
Global warming, that it's man-made.
No, I didn't say that. What I said was, scientists tell us that global warming is real and man-made. Scientists also tell us this. The only way with current technology to solve the problem of global warming is a global coordinated effort over 30 years costing trillions of dollars. Now, what do we suppose the chances of that are? Zero.
You have said, this is one of the good things.
So?
The government has limited ability to address it.
Exactly. So what are we doing? So here all these progressives say, oh, it's science. This is why we're rolling out all these rules. By the way, we're not a nation of laws anymore. We're a nation of rules that are promulgated by a bunch of unaccountable, unelected bureaucrats who answer to no one. So when the EPA rolls out all these rules that destroy the coal industry, I've been in those towns. I see what 40% unemployment rate looks like.
Fighting climate change helps the economy. Now, granted, certain sectors of the economy, by definition, are going to struggle and hopefully eventually be phased out, like the fossil fuel companies. But it's not like you get rid of them and whoop, nothing came up in its place. No, there will be blossoming new industries. Green technology, renewable technology. I mean, we've gone through the list before, whether it's solar or wind or geothermal, which is basically – oh, I'm sorry, not geothermal. Geothermal is one of them, but thorium, which is basically nuclear power – but it's considered meltdown-proof. There are these reactors that apparently are just higher quality and they work better. So there's a variety of different ways to tackle a problem, and I'm sure inventors are coming up with new ways all the time. But the problem is the way our government is structured, they're being cock-blocked by the lobbyists and by the fossil fuel industry. And that's clear. It's on the record. I mean, we've seen how they copied the tricks of the tobacco company. So for the longest time, scientists knew that smoking cigarettes caused cancer. But that wasn't officially recognized for a really long time because you had the tobacco companies funding basically bought scientists to parrot the line that it needs more study. We're not sure. It's an open question. And then, you know, it was a long fight, but eventually the actual science won, and everybody now knows, okay, it causes cancer. The same thing's going on right now with climate change. I mean, you have the overwhelming majority of scientists, or more importantly, the overwhelming majority of double-blind studies, or peer-reviewed studies, I should say, that say climate change is real and it's largely man-made, and this tiny, tiny percentage is really loud and funded really well, and they're the ones whose job is to raise doubt. So it's so disheartening to see that people in the Republican Party, who are supposed to be the moderates, they have no balls. It's always the craziest people on the right who speak up and yell and get their message out. And the people who are supposed to be the moderates, again, I don't even think Carla Fiorina is a moderate, but some have labeled her that. The ones that are supposed to be moderates never say, yeah, climate change is real. Can we move on to real fucking issues, please? Sorry, but if you're in the Republican base and you don't think it's real, you're wrong. There's no way to say this nicely. You are incorrect. You are simply ignorant or you are stupid. But no, Carly Fiorina can't do that. I didn't say climate change is happening. What I said is the scientists say it's happening, but the solutions they want, we can't do that because it'll hurt the economy, even though it'll help the economy. All right, and when she says something like the government has a limited ability to address climate change, nothing could be further from the truth. It's the exact opposite. The government is the only entity, or world governments are the only entities that can fight climate change. These guys live in a fantasy world where everything can be fixed with the free market. But we know, I mean, read any economics books. There's a problem called externalities, which is unintended consequences of a free marketplace. And one thing that's a classic externality is pollution and the environment. If you have corporations and their job is to profit, and that's their only motive, well then, It's a secondary thought, if that, to, okay, well, we got to get rid of this, you know, whatever, this chemical waste somehow, so what do you do with it? Well, we saw GE, for example, in New York, just dump it in the Hudson River because the river's right there, and we save money. We don't have to do transportation costs if we just dump it in the river right here. And that's what they did. Because from a financial standpoint, it makes sense to do that. The problem is the financial standpoint shouldn't be the only thing considered. You should care about other shit, which is why it's the government's job to step in and say, you can't do that. You have to transfer the chemical waste in a way that's safe. But in their fantasy world, they think, no, the government can't solve climate change, even though it's the only thing that can solve climate change. And the scientists say it's happening, but naturally we can't do any solutions because the solutions are bad. This is the Republican Party that we're dealing with, and that's supposed to be the more moderate position. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I got some great stories to finish up the show today, including the criminals in Tunisia who are so anti-gay that they want to go inside men's asses, and an NBA star who did some awesome charity, and I want to give them some credit. So we'll talk about that and much more. All right, guys, stay right there.
Lifestyle that we never knew. Go at a rabbit for the rabbit. Go. I'm on purchase when that day is jerking. Pull up in churches with Pirelli skirt. Gang signs out the window, you bitch. Hoping all of them offend you, you bitch. They say your hood is a pot of gold. And we go crash it when nobody flow. Holla, Barry. Well, holla, dude. Pick your butt and tell me what you do. Everybody don't respect the shoes, but the one is gonna be done live forever.
Welcome back, y'all. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more left. Let's see if we could squeeze them in. Vice News is reporting that human rights groups are condemning Tunisia for its treatment of gays after authorities sentenced a man to a year in prison for sodomy and then subjected him to an anal probe. They say, quote, police arrested the man earlier this month. According to his lawyer, Fadal Braham, police called in their client for questioning after his phone number was found on the body of a murdered man. Though he had no connection to the murder itself, the student admitted to having a sexual relationship with the deceased. The police then opened an investigation into his homosexuality under Article 230 of the Tunisian Penal Code, a controversial law that punishes sodomy with up to 3 years in prison. Quote, another statement was drawn up, and my client had to undergo an anal exam against his will, Braham said. The man was then subjected to an anal probe in a nearby hospital to verify whether he was indeed a homosexual. Prosecutors submitted the test as evidence in the trial, and the court found the man guilty. He was given a one-year prison sentence on September 24th. Okay, so let's think about exactly what happened here. A guy was accused of being gay, and the authorities went, okay, come on, guys, this is serious. Let's look in his ass. You're so concerned that this guy is engaged in sodomy that you yourself had to shove things in his ass. By your own logic, shouldn't you then be locked up? You don't do an anal. How do you do an anal exam without peeking in there or putting some fingers in there? So aren't you also doing, you're doing anal penetration in one way or another. So aren't you also guilty of the same thing? Shouldn't you be locked up? No, no, no. See, it was the authorities. And it's legit when they do it. You know, if it's like an official established authority and they do something like that, well, it's excusable because there's got to be a legitimate reason for it because it's an authority figure. Kind of like how the Catholic Church, when they diddled all those little boys, well, it was the Catholic Church doing it, so there was a reason for it. Oh, there wasn't? They were just sick fucks taking advantage of people? Right. That's exactly what's happening here, man. It's the most ironic bust, no pun intended, in history. The guy might be gay, shove things in his ass. What the fuck? And come on, Tunisia, for those of you who don't know, it's supposed to be one of the more modern Muslim countries. That's how it's viewed. But then when you read stuff like this, you go, stop. Stop! What are you doing? What are you thinking? How could that still be against the law? Now, unfortunately, there are places where the punishment is even worse. There are places where they kill you for being gay. But here they think, no, it's cool. We're more liberal. Just a year to 3 years in jail. What? He was gay. What'd you expect us to do? I don't know. Maybe let him live his fucking life and you back the fuck off? I don't know why it's so hard for people. Even if you're somebody who is religious and you believe in your holy book or whatever, is it really that hard to wrap your mind around the concept that when consenting adults are doing something that's not hurting anybody else, it's none of your fucking business. It's none of your business. Again, even if your text says the opposite and you believe in your text, why are you not living your own life by your text and leaving everybody else the fuck alone?
Now, I'm tired of religious dogmatism that, you know, unfortunately has ruined so many societies and has set up so many archaic, draconian, ridiculous, backwards laws. It's, again, guys, it's not just a difference of opinion that, hey, that culture believes in locking up gay people and we don't. No, that just means we are better on that issue. We are right on that issue and they are wrong on that issue. Now, what do you do about it is a much more complicated question, because you're not going to, you know, fucking what, wage a war because they don't have the exact same laws we do? Of course not. That's ridiculous. But you have to try to fight and win on the battlefield of ideas and concepts, because that's all we have. So there needs to be international outrage. They need to point out how ridiculous this is. And also, don't just point out how ridiculous the law is. Point out the fucking irony of it. We're so afraid that this guy's an evil gay that we're going to penetrate his ass. All right, now, let's talk about our education system. Story is reporting on a pathetic story about the state of our education system. They say, quote, parents of students at Heritage Middle School in Deltona, Florida, took to social media to complain that their children are being forced to reject faith in favor of science. The lesson, titled Not Just a Theory, rattled parents because it accused people who deny evolution of being liars who are intentionally setting out to deceive others about the origins of the world. Here's what the assignment sheet told the students. Quote, next time someone tells you evolution is just a theory as a way of dismissing it, as if it's just something someone guessed at, remember that they're using the non-scientific meaning of the word. If that person is a teacher, a minister, or some other figure of authority, they should know better. In fact, they probably do, and they are trying to mislead you. So parent Jennifer Flincham, which is a hilarious name, said that when she read the last two lines there, quote, the hair on the back of my neck went up. Flincham and other parents believe that the school assignment is undermining their authority as parents to teach their children creationism. So what did the school do in response to this? They apologized. They said, we're sorry that in the science class we taught science. We should know better. We'll allow science into the science class and also non-scientific theories that will pretend are science. Guys, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? Now understand, I get it if the idea is, just don't put that last line in there, because the last line was, you know, they're, in fact, they probably do, and they are trying to mislead you. So in other words, yeah, they know better, and they are misleading you. My response to that would be, no, some people are just dumb. Some people are just ignorant or dumb, and they're not malicious liars. In fact, I think most people who would tell a kid about creationism and as if it's true, overwhelmingly they're ignorant. Or they're dumb. They're not, you know, they don't know the truth, and they're like, maha, I will lie to this kid. So that last line I'm not in favor of, because I don't think it's true. But the rest of it, if you disagree with the rest of it and you're arguing against the rest of it, you can piss off, because the rest of it is totally true. And nobody says this, guys. This is something that, unfortunately, for the longest time, I've never heard the proper rebuttals to people on this issue, where it's true that when scientists say theory, it doesn't mean theory like you and I use it in casual conversation. No, theory is basically, in the scientific world, a fact. The word that would mean like, oh, you know, somebody's guessing at it, is hypothesis in the scientific world. And, of course, evolution is not a hypothesis. Evolution is a theory, which basically means it's true. So the science teacher is right to say this. And for the parents to say, no, I have a right to mislead my child. Okay, look, am I going to have the state come confiscate your kids if you teach your kid creationism? No, I'm not going to do that. But do you have a right to tell science teachers that they can't teach science? No, they're going to get a proper education and a good education in school. And then if you want to try to brainwash them at home, that's your problem, and unfortunately that's your kid's problem, because you're handicapping your kid to having a successful life. You're going to make it much more difficult for them. So I feel bad for the kid, and I dislike you, but keep that shit to yourself, man. You know, you could teach fairy tales and Mother Goose and all that nonsense all day long to your kid. That's fine. I don't like it, but you can do it. But when they go to school, they're going to learn the truth, and you're not going to take your mythology and impose it on everybody in a class that is about science. That's like somebody saying, you know, I don't like the way this math class is teaching math. Can we also teach the alternative theory that 2 plus 2 equals 22? No! I don't care if that's your opinion. If you want to brainwash people on your own time, go right ahead, but you're not going to take your false beliefs and impose them in an educational setting. All right, next. It's gonna get, I don't know if it's worse or just as bad, but another terrible education story. The History News Network is reporting on a frightening development in South Dakota. They say, quote, the South Dakota Board of Education has dumped early American history from its K-12 curriculum. They say students are no longer required to learn about the American Revolution, the Constitution, slavery, and most of the stories of the women's rights movement. The decision of the South Dakota Board of Education seems to be based on the idea that early American history is not important because it occurred so long ago and has no relevance for the present. The Board of Education seems to think that history is merely the memorization of dates, timelines, and names. What the fuck? Their decision was, yeah, in the history classes, let's just not teach history. I'm so beyond done and so frustrated with people who take ideas that are way beyond the realm of the debatable and the respectable, and they're just like, yo, let's do that. And everybody else agrees somehow. The entire Board of Education is like, no history in the history class, I'm in. And they said their logic really is like, well, I mean, that the revolution was a long time ago. Slavery, that was a long time ago. I just don't teach it. So you're taking a stand for ignorance. Your argument is pro-ignorance. You're saying, well, you know, the world we live in today, it's different. We have Twitter, we have the internet. You know, why would we want to learn about the women's rights movement? Why would we want to learn about slavery and systemic oppression? Because you want to be a well-rounded, intelligent human being. And you should know history because you should know how that affects things today, for example. If you don't know about the legacy of slavery, you don't know about Jim Crow, you don't know about segregation, you don't know about the civil rights movement, well, then perhaps you'll have no context to view, for example, the Black Lives Matter movement today. So, you know, you'll be an ignorant prick on that, and you'll develop opinions that are bullshit. And when it comes to, you know, the revolution and why we fought it and what freedom is, what tyranny is, all this stuff, that's not important for today? No, I don't. I'm at a loss for words, because usually when we do stories like we just did about the problem in our education system in America, it's that all the different red states are trying to shove religion into the curriculum or just trying to give it a right-wing slant. I've never seen anything like this where they say, no, we're not, forget slanting things. We just don't want to teach it. We just don't want the kids to know about the American Revolution or women's rights movement or the Constitution or slavery. We just don't want them to know. So they're not even a slant. They're like, nothing. So what are you going to do in the history classes? What the fuck are you going to do? What, are you going to talk about the first season of Seinfeld? How does this work? Guys, what I'm really scared of is we're now making it so that what will the next generation of Americans look like? Like, what are they going to look like? And I'm not saying the curriculums were perfect today or whatever in the 80s or 90s or you name it. No, they have plenty of problems, of course. But if this is how far we're going, well, then we're not going to be the generation, and we're not going to be the country that gets, you know, inevitable patents in certain fields with medicine and technology and all the things that make up the future. We're going to be a bunch of jackasses who don't know anything. This is unacceptable. This is inexcusable. And somebody's got to do something to try to change it, because I fear we're going down a path where the end result could be beyond disastrous for the country. All right, now. I got enough time. I'll squeeze in two more here. You're going to see my conservative side come out now. What? Yeah, you'll see it. There's an unbelievable story out today from San Diego about a doctor who basically got away with horrific crimes. So Raw Story reports, quote, a physician avoided jail despite admitting to raping and photographing unconscious patients at a low-income health clinic. Dr. Jeffrey Joel Abrams pleaded guilty to 8 counts of sexual penetration of an unconscious person, 3 counts of sexual battery, and 1 count of possession of child pornography. The 68-year-old Abrams, who was barred from ever practicing medicine again, was sentenced to 25 years and 8 months, but Judge Laura Halgren suspended the entire term and ordered the doctor to serve just 1 year of house arrest in Skydid, inappropriate vaginal exams, for no reason other than for perverted reasons. He allegedly had thousands of women send pictures of their vaginas, and he said it was for medical reasons. It wasn't. He abused a girl as young as 6 years old. He raped unconscious people. And they're like, no, okay, you're house arrest. Why? They go on to explain in the article, he's sick. He's got health issues. He's fighting cancer at the moment and this and that. And? So let him have his treatment and then let him go back behind bars where he fucking belongs. No, like, how does one rationalize giving this guy a year of house arrest? And I hate to play the angle, but I feel like it's screaming out of the page here. What kind of a clinic was he working at? A low-income health clinic. So what? They don't get the book thrown at them nearly as much because they're dealing with the undesirables in society. Now, you might say, Kyle, you're politicizing this and making it something. Really? Well, if this guy was operating in as some sort of doctor in Beverly Hills, Westchester County, dealing with clients that are the wives of Wall Street bankers or connected people in Washington, would he get that much time? Would he? I think you know the answer to that. And this, the first thing that came to mind when I read this, the affluenza kid. You remember that? So this kid got into a car accident, killed people. He was under the influence, all types of problems. And then the defense lawyer argued, no, it's okay because he was raised a spoiled punk bitch, so he doesn't understand the consequences of his actions. So it's okay. You know, let him go. If anything, to me, that sounds like a reason to punish him more. It's like, well, he never learned responsibility. Okay, so then now we really got to teach him responsibility. We'll give him more time. No, they went the other direction with it. They were like, well, no, he literally hasn't learned consequences for his actions, so he didn't know any better, so he's an idiot and he killed people. But there's no maliciousness there. You got to let him go. It worked. The argument worked. This is the country we live in. And then there's the DuPont guy, right, who's part of the famous family, mega rich, and he did some sort of sexual abuse. Apparently he got off lightly. The list goes on and on, man. Need we even get into financial crimes and the trillions of dollars that evaporated because of the bad decisions and the predatory loans made by the people on Wall Street? All those jackasses right now are on a yacht somewhere doing coke and fucking hookers. So we don't have a fair, just, rational system here. No person, I submit to you, no rational person can read through what this guy here did and take away from it under any circumstance, just give him a year of house arrest. Nobody, no intelligent person here. Which leads me to think that behind the scenes, something a lot worse is going on. It's not just a double standard, but there's also some fuckery behind the scenes that we can't prove, but it smells like that from a mile away. Okay. And finally, we'll do one more here. And ooh, we're actually going to get to finish early today. That's great for me and sucks for you guys. It's awesome. I can't believe that's a first time. But I better stop yapping now because then I won't finish early. We'll see. This should be a quick story, though. It's John Wall. an NBA star who's a great person, and I'm going to explain why right now. NBA star John Wall, who's, of course, a guard for the Washington Wizards, just donated $400,000 to help homeless kids in shelters. So Huffington Post reports on this, quote, Bright Beginnings, which provides child care and educational services for around 162 kids each day, made an announcement about the donation on his Facebook page Friday. The center, which focuses on kids preschool age and younger, hopes to open a second child development center that would serve an additional 100 children. Wall also hosted a 2 half-day-long youth basketball camp in Maryland. Last year, he donated $1 million to D.C. charities in 2013 and has partnered with the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Washington to promote education for young people. So, I mean, the whole point of this story, it should be relatively obvious, but it's to show you how John Wall's a great dude. You know, the thing is, guys, he didn't have to do that. Like, he wasn't obligated to do it. He did it because he chose to do it. He did it because he wanted to do it, which means he actually cares about people. He cares about these underprivileged kids who he feels like they don't have a shot. He wants to give them an opportunity, and he knows that he's successful enough where he can provide that opportunity for people. See, this is the mindset of a good person. If there were more John Walls out there, we have systems of government, for example, that just work better. And one of the main reasons why I think it's important to talk about this is we shouldn't have to rely on the goodwill and the kindness of somebody like John Wall. We just shouldn't. We should live under a government, and we should live within a system that provides a basic standard of living that allows people to have equal opportunity, and to, if they work hard and try to get ahead, they can do it. But we don't live under that system. We don't live in that system. We live in a system where, unfortunately, a lot of people are just flat out left behind. Guys, you can't raise kids on the minimum wage. You can bust your ass, work hard every day, try to get the promotion, try to work your way through the system, not do that, and on the wage you earn, you can't get by without having to go to the government and get food stamps and try to find ways to get by, and even then you can't necessarily get by. So the problem, unfortunately, is a systemic problem. And I give John Wall a bunch of credit for doing this, but we need to step up and realize that you got to elect the right people, you got to get money out of the political system, and you have to try to set up a system where we don't have to rely on people like John Wall to do the right thing, because I hate to say it, but it's true, there's not enough John Walls out there. There's just not. So we still have extreme poverty in some places. We still have a system where you can go bankrupt because of medical bills and things like that. We still have so many people with student loan debt that they won't be able to pay off in their 40s. They keep paying into their 50s. We have so many problems, and meanwhile, the government, instead of investing in the people, what are they doing? We already know. They're doing corporate welfare. And they're spending over 50% of our discretionary budget on war. War against people that we don't need to be fighting. I mean, this idea of, like, everybody's an imminent threat. No, it's got a lot more to do with the military-industrial complex. It has a lot more to do with, you know, people making money and trying to keep this system locked down where they keep making money even though all they do is make bombs and missiles and weapons and tanks and things like that. We need a total realignment of our priorities. We need a system where anybody within it, even if you're down on your luck and it's the worst time in your life, you still understand that you're not going to be out on the street, you're not going to be in a situation with zero hope, you're going to have a bare minimum lifestyle, which allows you the opportunity to bounce back and to get it right. And unfortunately, we don't live in that system. And we need people like John Wall to step up and donate their own money to try to provide that opportunity for other people. It's time for us to step up and try to get universal health care, try to get universal education, try to stop the wars, try to realign our priorities and get money out of politics so we don't need guys like John Wall to do the right thing. Okay. we're out of time. Well, no, we're not, but the show's over. Well, I don't know, 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left. Still early for in secular talk terms. I love y'all, and I will see you tomorrow, same time, same place. I'll be giving you an update on the T-shirt thing soon. I'm waiting to hear from Lilith all the details of it, but, you know, I'm guessing that we're going to be doing the shirt drive fairly soon. Half the money goes to Wolfpack, half the money goes to Lilith, who does tremendous work for the show, and she does it for free. So it's just a little way of giving back here, and I hope a bunch of you guys will buy the shirts. But that's it, man. Everybody enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.